This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is James Robbins, senior editorial page writer for The Washington Times. In Friday's edition of the paper, he took a look at the latest visit to the Middle East by former President Jimmy Carter, and specifically his call for the terrorist group Hamas to be taken off the State Department's list of terrorist groups. And Jim, thanks so much for your time today.
Hey, my pleasure, Greg.
What exactly is the standard for getting on this list?
In the case of Hamas, they were put on by President Clinton in the finding that certain groups, Palestinian groups in particular, were using violence to oppose the peace process in the Middle East. So I believe it was in 1995, he put on Hamas, Hezbollah, Palestinian Liberation Front, and other groups, Abu Nidal organization, you know, real bloodthirsty groups that were engaging in suicide bombings and other things in the Middle East. So basically, anybody can get on the list so long as they're out there killing innocent people.
And, of course, Hamas has taken credit for many different attacks. Even though they are the legitimately elected majority in the Palestinian parliament, they've continued to attack Israelis. The rocket attacks have been well demonstrated and documented over the past couple of years. So why does Carter believe they ought to be removed?
I think the former president is thinking more in terms of the process of Middle East peace than in terms of reality. I don't want to speak for him, but I gather that he thinks that being on the terror list is one of those unfortunate diplomatic impediments to getting Hamas more fully involved in peace talks. And if they were dropped from the list, then that would remove that objection and then make it easier for Hamas to be brought into the system.
Do you get the sense that he believes Hamas would stop engaging in terrorism if they were somehow given a better seat at the table?
Well, he said that Hamas leaders told him that they wanted peace and they want to live side by side with Israel, but Hamas leaders might whisper that to the impressionable Mr. Carter, you know, behind closed doors, yet they will not make a public statement recognizing Israel's right to exist. So it's kind of hard to take it at face value.
In terms of the Obama administration, do you get the sense they're inclined to listen thoroughly to this proposal by President Carter, or do you believe that given what Obama has said in the past about terrorist acts, that Hamas is likely to stay right where it is?
I would guess Hamas is going to stay where it is. The Obama administration is wisely trying not to deal with them, trying to deal with the Fatah faction and, you know, with President Abbas, and basically ignoring Hamas. They're trying to steer all of the U.S. aid that's going to Gaza, for example, to the Fatah faction to try to strengthen them in Gaza, where they're currently being hunted down by Hamas. So it's not just Israelis that Hamas goes after. They go after anybody who isn't them. So I really think the Obama administration would just prefer that President Carter go away, you know, mind his own business and stay out of the peace process.
What is it on Carter's front that he's trying to accomplish here? He's obviously very sympathetic to the Palestinian side of the equation in the Middle East. He's visited with Hamas. He's visited Syria recently. He's had very harsh things to say about Israel. How instrumental of a role does he still think he can play in all this?
Well, that's a good question. Former presidents often get involved in these efforts. President Clinton is going to be our special envoy to Haiti, for example, and Al Gore, former vice president's out there saving the world from itself or whatever he's doing. So I think that President Carter just feels probably sincerely that he can make a difference, and he's working in a way that he thinks will be effective. But realistically, I think he's probably more of an impediment to progress at this point. Because Hamas is not going to be brought into this process.
President Obama, of course, is still pretty much a neophyte on the foreign stage, although he's made several international trips already. But he doesn't have a lot of experience, and neither did Bill Clinton when he got elected in 1992. And at that time, he basically outsourced a lot of America's foreign policy, including the Middle East, including North Korea, to Jimmy Carter. Seems like President Obama learned a lesson from that era of the Clinton administration.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable assumption to make. I think it's also reasonable to assume that this peace process is increasingly going to be put on the back burner, just as it was in the Clinton and the Bush years, as other more immediate crises come to play. The process of Middle East peace and reconciliation between Israelis and Palestinians has been going on for decades, it's unlikely that President Obama is going to solve this anytime soon, particularly when he's dealing with North Korean provocations, you know, missile and nuclear tests, and the ongoing events in Iran.
The last 30 seconds here with Jim Robbins of the Washington Times. And Jim, in terms of Israel, obviously they're not big fans of President Carter. Wasn't even allowed to speak there recently. Now that they're hearing these demands from President Obama to stop all settlements and to be ready to accept his vision of a Palestinian state in the region, just how warm or cold is Israel getting towards Obama?
A recent opinion poll showed that only 6% of Israeli Jews think that Obama is pro-Israel, and about half of them think that he's pro-Palestinian. So, but that's basically what he's been saying. I mean, they're responding to the policies that he's putting forward. So if he wants to court them, he's going to have to change his line.
Jim, unfortunately, we need to call time there. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
James Robbins is a senior editorial writer for The Washington Times. His piece on this subject can be found in Friday's paper. This is Dateline Washington.